I've got my leg in it, I'm ready.
All right, ready to drop that Lego on the floor?
I'm ready.
Cool, let's do this.
Hello and welcome to The Good Robot Andes, Season 6, Episode 2.
Oh, Episode 2.
My name is Andy Balaam and this is...
Andy Cockerill.
And the film that we are talking about this evening is...
It's not a film.
Is not a film.
It's not a film. So, in a break from our usual programming, I don't think we've ever done a TV show before.
No, that's right. I'm sure we haven't.
We've discussed television, so we've discussed things like The Walking Dead at some length.
Mm, I'll watch some more of that.
And other genre TV shows.
I finished season 3.
Good. Excellent.
I realised I've definitely watched some of season 4, so I'm not yet on new stuff, but...
Anyway. Okay.
It's exciting. Excellent. Anyway, yeah. The TV series, the TV program, TV series we're talking about tonight is...
Russian Doll.
Never heard of it.
Okay, so this is a Netflix TV show.
That'll be why.
Very sorry to folks who don't have Netflix, who are feeling excluded right now.
One day it'll come on DVD, though.
Yes,
right?
I think it or will. Something? I think it will, okay. Yeah. It's very good. Okay. So this is a comedy drama.
So should we do our feedback first?
Oh, yes, let's do some feedback.
Yeah, let's do some feedback.
Yeah.
Cool. So we got a bit of feedback. We got some feedback from M. Dent on the blog. Left a comment on the blog. Thank you, M. Dent. That is the ideal way to leave feedback.
The most optimal feedback avenue.
Optimalist. It's probably not, actually. Mastodon's just as good. Just don't leave it on some horrible proprietary social network.
Like we talked about.
Yeah, so it, actually M. Dent was commenting on the episode about behaviour manipulation and why you should ditch Facebook, which was the last episode. And what they said was some more alternatives that might be good for things that can replace Facebook in your life. So they mention Hubzilla, which offers interconnectivity with many of the other platforms. That we talked about already. So things like Mastodon, I guess, is talking about. And also Zap, capital Z, capital A, capital P, which apparently is very similar to Facebook. And I don't think I've heard of either of those before. So they're definitely worth checking out.
Excellent.
Apparently they have features that the others don't have, including potentially fine-grained access. So one of the things Google Plus tried to offer and didn't really... Well, it didn't. Google Plus didn't succeed at all.
At all, no.
But one of the ways they tried to make you like it was that you could have different circles of people that you shared different levels of stuff with. So it sounds like both Hubzilla and Zap give you that kind of control over who sees what. Which could be useful.
Yes, it could be. Yeah, I think that does sound interesting.
I just go for assume everything's public mode.
Yes, unless... Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely.
That's why the Twitter or Mastodon model works for me.
Yeah.
Now, did you say we had other feedback?
Well, I think you said we had some on
some stuff on social media.
On social media, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what there is Dapper said that he's put out a bounty for code that will take his Mastodon feed and repost it to Facebook.
Oh, okay.
So... That if you would like to be paid money to code up a feature for Dapper, check out the come and find the Good Robot Andes Mastodon, and you'll find or just ask the Good Robot Andes on Mastodon, or leave a comment on the blog or something. And
that sounds like a challenge. This sounds like a Wild West challenge.
Can put you in touch.
Come and find me in this bar here. I'll be here.
So, Mastodon people, what generally on social media, people don't like it if you make like a sock puppet. So if you're still on Twitter, but your stuff just gets copied onto Mastodon, people don't like it.
Yes.
But if you're on Mastodon, actually involved in the community, and then you've got a sock puppet on Facebook, who cares? So
yes,
go for it.
Quite. Yes.
So yeah, someone wants to write that code for Dapper or point Dapper to some existing code, which surely there is some.
Excuse me. There's got to be something like that somewhere, right?
There's got to be. So let us know, and maybe Dapper will pay you some money.
Dapper. Has he said how much?
Well, he said he's put out a bounty, so someone knows how much, but he didn't say in that toot.
We need to go and find the sign that's on the wall of the bar in the Wild West that says, you know, $5.
Wanted.
Wanted.
Code that will take my Mastodon feed and repost it on my Facebook feed.
Dead or alive. Preferably fine. Alive.
One filly.
Yeah. Okay. Is that,
that was the feedback.
Is that the feedback?
Yeah, that's the feedback.
Cool. Okay. So, as I already said, not a movie this week. I did have an extensive list of films that I could have talked about.
Uh-huh.
But this TV show that I've watched at home with my wife quite recently, which was actually recommended to me by the Pilot TV podcast.
Remind me of the name?
Russian Doll.
Russian Doll, okay.
Yes. I thought I'd give it a go. Well, we thought we would give it a go because it was very highly recommended.
Okay.
So this is a comedy drama. It's created by Natasha Lyonne, who was apparently, or not apparently, was in one, if not more, of the American Pie movies.
Okay.
Which I have not seen any of,
Meh.
To my pride, I have to say. So she stars and is one of the creators of this show. She's also in a Netflix show called Orange is the New Black.
Heard of it.
Okay. It's very good. Set in a women's prison. It's a long-running Netflix show. I think it's coming to an end soon, though.
Okay.
So she stars in that. So she took a bit of a career break after the American Pie movies and presumably some other stuff. She had some personal problems with substance abuse. But has to be said, has come back stronger, better, funnier, possibly. So
I'm having trouble getting my head around the idea that it's comedy. Like, the name doesn't sound comedy.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. So anyway, let's talk about who else is involved as as a producer or a creator. Natasha Lyonne, obviously. Somebody called Leslie Headland, who I've not previously heard of. But probably most importantly for you and me, and maybe others, is Amy Poehler is one of the is one of the creators.
Right. Okay. So she's not in it.
No.
Right.
No, but she is a driving force behind it. So Amy Poehler is, of course, plays. Ooh, I don't remember the name of the character now. In Parks and Recreation.
What is her name?
I can't remember. Shall a man look something up on the internet?
I'll tell you what, I'll look it up while you talk.
Okay, you do that. Russian Doll is set in New York. It stars Natasha Lyonne, Greta Lee, Yul Vasquez, Charlie Barnett, and Elizabeth Ashley. There's only been one season. There's only 8 episodes, so you know you could say it's a limited season. Although I suppose there are plenty of shows on in UK TV that are just... You know, six episodes long. And it is about a young woman who repeatedly dies and relives the same night in an ongoing time loop. Sounds familiar?
I think I've seen trailers.
Okay, you may have done. Yeah, you may have done.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
So this is a Groundhog Day type conceit. So it's not... That part of the conceit is not particularly original. What is interesting and original about it is, although it kind of follows the same kind of idea and concept as Groundhog Day, in that the person who is in the time loop has to try and find their way out of it by doing something to change their life in some way. And although this initially goes down that path, it soon becomes pretty clear that maybe that's not what's going on.
Okay.
Because that would be too easy. You know, that would be... We've already been down that road with Groundhog Day. Pardon?
By the way, Amy Poehler's character in Parks and Recreation is called Leslie Knope.
Of course she is.
Yeah.
She's Knope.
She's an inspirational character.
She is, as is Ron Swanson, for other reasons.
Ron Swanson. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay, Leslie Knope. Yes, of course, Leslie Knope.
Of course.
Yes. So it soon becomes clear that that's not what's going on. And maybe she's not in the time loop to try and put something right from her past.
Okay, so she tries that and it doesn't work out.
Yeah, it repeatedly doesn't work out to hilarity.
Okay.
In that she becomes extra frustrated, and then as Bill Murray in Groundhog Day became frustrated and then stopped caring, you know, he basically went, there's a whole montage in Groundhog Day of him killing himself in ever more interesting ways. There's stuff like that in Russian Doll. But then something happens in Russian Doll in, I think, like episode 2 or 3,
mm-hmm.
when she's in one of the situations where she's going to die. In this case, it's in a lift.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to the person next to her, oh, I'm going to die now. Sorry. And he turns to her and says, it's okay, I die all the time. And she looks up at him, and then the elevator crashes.
Yeah, I saw that in the trailer, so it's okay to say that.
Okay. So
this is a spoilerific podcast.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to totally spoil this.
Oh, brilliant, okay.
Yeah,
brilliant.
For everyone. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Warning, listener, this is a spoilerific podcast.
Spoiler klaxon. That was a spoiler klaxon. So... so she then realizes that there's somebody else in the loop with her, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But what she then comes to realize is that they're not in the same loop as her. They're in a loop of their own.
Okay.
So when she dies, the other person doesn't die.
Okay.
They carry on in their own loop until they die. Then they go back to their own loop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So her loop begins at her birthday party. That is being thrown by somebody else in somebody else's flat for her.
Mm-hmm.
So every time she resets, she's in a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And every time she comes out of the bathroom, there's the same two people waiting to go in.
Mm-hmm.
To which she becomes very familiar, and they become more perplexed as time mm-hmm. goes on, because she's like, hey, how's it going? And she then goes to seek out this person that she saw in the elevator, to try and figure out how they're connected.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't immediately make a connection. It doesn't appear that they're connected at all.
Okay.
But as the loops continue to go, and they continue, you know, basically what they do is each time they meet up with each other
mm-hmm.
and they try and figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
He becomes increasingly frustrated. Mm-hmm. There is a link between them, though. In that, in the first episode, we see her go back to, I think, her apartment. Yeah, her apartment, in which she has a dalliance with a man.
Mm-hmm.
And that man is also having a dalliance with this man in the elevator's fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a link. There's a tenuous link between them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really apparent and doesn't really seem to make any sense. However, they are both quite damaged people. So she has, you know, she has alcohol and drug problems because of the relationship with her mother. No great surprise in that your parents mess you up. I'm cleaning that one up. Mm-hmm. And he has real issues with his fiance, who is having an affair, and kind of treats him quite badly. And they both... they both die for the first time in different ways. So she gets run over by a car in what seems to be an accident, and he dies in the elevator. But then as time resets each time, they die in different ways. So she falls mm-hmm. off a fire escape, or falls down some stairs, or goes to her, I think her mum's friend's house, where her mum has a gas leak and the house blows up. And, mm-hmm. you know, these things happen. What the show does is, as it gets deeper and deeper into the story, you want it to keep going. So when time gets reset, you're like, oh no, come on. I want to mm-hmm. see a bit more. I want to see mm-hmm. I want to see them investigate this a bit further. She eventually realizes that what they are both there to do is to kind of help each other. And kind of reset each other's life experience and live a better life.
Okay.
She realizes this, but he doesn't. So, and what happens then is the timelines get messed up. They get out of sync.
Okay.
So, in the final episode, in at the point where she first met him in her timeline, which was in a convenience mm-hmm. store that she goes mm-hmm. back to repeatedly. Mm-hmm. She sees him for the first time really drunk and sort of falling down and getting stuff out of a fridge. And she goes up to him, but he doesn't recognize her.
Right.
Because they're
out of, he's in the past.
He's in the past. They're out of sync.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then things go quite badly wrong. Mm-hmm. And she realizes she's got to get to him before he goes to kill himself, because it could actually be the last time that he does this, you know, that the maybe time won't reset again for him. Mm-hmm. So she goes after him, and then in a very clever piece of split screen, we see their two timelines start to become into sync and then converge. And then he remembers.
I really like that split screen. There should be more of that, like in the first series of 24.
Yeah, split screen is great.
It's good.
Yeah. Put to good effect in Mike Figgis' movie Time Code, if listener hasn't seen that.
Don't think so. I have.
So that's a movie that was shot on multiple cameras. And then the timelines run at the same time. So, you know, there's no sort of messing around with time. Mm-hmm. Allegedly in one take, although I'm not entirely convinced that maybe it was, but the, you know, it's an early experiment with digital media. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very effective. Mm-hmm. So if a listener hasn't seen Time Code, I'm recommending that you watch it.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds good.
It is good. So yes, at the end of Russian Doll, their timelines, you see them start to converge, and then the split screen becomes one screen.
Okay.
And they are then in one of the very famous, you know, there's in Central Park, there's the bridges, tunnels that you can walk under. They're in one of those.
Is that what, at the end of, what's the thing with the big monster?
Big monster? Oh, Cloverfield.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Much like that.
That's the only place I know that from, but I think they're in that.
Yeah, they've been used in numerous movies. There's a movie with actually Albert Finney in a movie called Wolfen, in which okay. one of those tunnels is put to very good effect in Central Park. So yeah, timelines converge, and it appears that happily ever after. It doesn't appear that there's going to be a second series of this. It looks like a standalone 8 episodes, very high concept.
So she rescues him. Or,
yeah.
Are you deliberately non-spoiling this? Or
I'm spoiling it. No, they.
Okay. Tell me what happens.
They meet up. The timelines converge. He remembers her. Mm-hmm. He remembers everything that went before, and they're really happy.
What? Because she saved him.
Yes. Yeah, and he effectively saved her as well. He gave her purpose.
Okay.
Because although, you know, during the time loops, there are these sort of red herrings and plot MacGuffins that suggest that she needs to reconcile the relationship with her mother. Mm-hmm. But that is kind of a red herring. That's not really what she's there for. She's there to save him, and he's there to sort of put her, give her purpose. Mm-hmm. Because she is utterly directionless. You know, she goes to parties, she drinks a lot, she takes a lot of drugs, she has meaningless relationships with people. She's not, you know, she's living a non-linear life. Mm-hmm. And this whole time loop thing is to kind of pull her back to the present and give her direction.
Okay.
And him as well, because he is also out of control.
Okay, so whichever deity did it to Bill Murray is also doing it to them too.
You could say that, yeah.
Try and sort themselves out.
Yeah, because Bill Murray in Groundhog Day is just the worst human being. One of the worst human beings you've ever met.
Oh, that's so great.
But he's Bill Murray, so, you know.
Yeah.
I think Bill Murray's made a career out of being a curmudgeon, which is great, really.
I like him in Charlie's Angels.
I've not seen Charlie's Angels.
Oh, you're missing out. It's a really fun film.
Are you sure?
Yes, and Bill Murray is very good value.
I remain unconvinced that I am missing out on anything.
Well, I'm telling you that you're missing out on it. So that's enough for you to try it out and see whether you like it.
That's enough. As Brian Glover would say in Alien 3, that's enough!
Honestly,
no, not Alien 3. American Werewolf in London.
I'm deadly serious.
Okay.
Charlie's Angels is a really fun film where you can tell that the cast are really enjoying themselves.
Okay, so I have an issue with the cast enjoying themselves.
But in yeah, I understand that sometimes that means it's a rubbish film. But
exactly,
in this case,
yes.
In this case, I at least was very much enjoying it along with them.
Okay. All right. Well, if I've got a gap in my schedule, maybe I'll watch it with my son and we can rip it apart.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the gender politics. Maybe it's good.
Who knows? I've not seen it. I'm in your hands there as far as the gender politics go.
Right, well, just watch the film and let me know what you think.
Okay.
Seriously, I really like it. I've watched it multiple times.
Right. Okay. Right. Right. I feel like doing a Dr. Evil. Right. Okay. So we've all heard that Charlie's Angels is a good film.
I think it's quite similar to that film in a way. Like
Austin Powers.
It's a lot of fun.
I do like Austin Powers. Although
I was thinking about the moment where what's his name says Sherbert because he doesn't understand what
Christian
Austin
Slater
Powers has said to him. I think that's possibly one of the funniest things in cinema.
I brought
just the way he pronounced
Orange Sherbert.
Yeah, I mean that's just it's comic genius.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that is pretty much all I have to say about Russian Doll, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
So okay. So hang on, I probably have to ask you some kind of question.
Okay.
So what's its meaning? Why is it worthwhile? What does it teach us about the world?
I think it teaches.
What's the point of it?
What's the point of it? It's cracking entertainment.
That's not a good enough point. I want like a meaning. I want it to teach me something.
You want it to teach you something?
Like Charlie's Angels taught me.
Okay. Russian Doll. Russian Doll teaches you that you might go looking for the answer to your life somewhere, but maybe you're looking in the wrong place.
Ah, what you should actually do is just find a good man.
Well,
forget about your mother issues.
No, not a good man, a good woman. Maybe a nice dog.
Right.
You know, maybe... I don't think it's necessarily about companionship.
Right.
I think it's about finding the thing purpose in your life that gives you direction and purpose.
Right. Yeah. And that's interesting. Yeah. And that sometimes it is moving on from
a trauma,
something like
yes,
your mum or something, rather than going back and fixing it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and there's actually as I was watching Russian Doll, I was thinking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, the worst Star Trek.
The worst of all the Star Treks. But there is a very insightful, I think it's in the first or the second episode, where Commander Sisko, he meets the entities that live in the wormhole, and they keep saying to him, your life is not linear. You exist here. And they keep showing him the point where his wife was killed. They keep showing that to him and saying, it's not linear. You exist here. So we don't understand what you say when you are, you know, a mortal being who lives in a linear timeline, because you exist in this place right now that we're showing you. And that's what I thought about when I was watching Russian Doll, in that she exists in a part of her life that is years ago, but she hasn't moved on from it. So this very toxic, abusive relationship that she had with her mother, she's still living that.
Right. So I wonder whether... I was thinking, why do we like films where time repeats? Because there's that really fun film with... what's his name?
Don't know.
Sci-fi film...
Oh.
With the short bloke.
The short bloke. You'll have to give me a bit more on that one.
I'm not even sure he's in it. it's a sci-fi film where it's a bit like a computer game. It resets.
Hang on. No, the one I'm thinking of is Source Code.
Oh, no, not that. Okay, that's another example, though. Yeah, okay, so there's quite a few films.
Mm.
The one that I'm talking about, if I remember it, Tom Cruise, that's the short note.
Oh, Tom Cruise. Oh, Minority Report.
No.
Live, Die, Repeat. Yes.
Yes.
Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah, of course. That's fantastic.
So it's a surprisingly good film. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we've immediately named four films where time resets and repeats. Yeah, and obviously, computer games are an influence, right? So Live, Die, Repeat especially really feels like a computer game.
Yeah, it does.
But it's interesting that we like computer games where when you die, you repeat yourself. That isn't necessarily the right formula for a computer game, but that's the way it works in modern games. Why do we like it? And like, I think there's a number of reasons. One is that we like repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, we don't like being bored, so you need to mix it up a bit. But we actually, like kids, young kids especially, love repetition.
Yes, it's very, what's the word I'm thinking of? They like repetition because it's comfortable.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they don't like the narrative that diverges from what they're used to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So as we get older, we don't want to watch exactly the same thing over again, necessarily. Mm. Although I did watch Payback a lot of times.
Okay.
But we do find it interesting to watch the same thing and then it goes differently or something like that. Sliding Doors.
Yeah, Sliding Doors is a good example. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... why do we like that? Partly maybe just because it's pleasing. Partly possibly because it's the chance to like redo things and do them better is really a nice idea.
Also, I think it's sort of, if you're watching it, you start to try and drive the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it goes in the way you don't want it to, you're like, no, don't do that. That's really stupid.
Yeah. But I also think the thing you talked about earlier could be a very strong part of it as well, which is that at some times in our life, we feel like we're just repeating the same thing or, you know, stuck in some kind of rut.
Yeah.
So it kind of reflects that feeling. And especially then when someone escapes from it, it's like a nice detective film. You feel like justice has been done.
Russian Doll is very much a detective story as well as...
Really?
Yes. Okay. Because it leads you down several blind alleys in terms of its plot.
So that by
the middle of the series, you are being a detective and trying to figure out what the heck is going on.
Right.
And not really... I had no idea it was going to finish in the way that it did.
Cool.
Which was fantastic.
So we've been watching a bit of The Good Place.
Oh, no, my wife loves The Good Place.
I've been really enjoying it, and surprisingly so, because it feels quite mainstream, but then it's really captured me. I really like it.
Yeah. And it's got a good cast as well.
Yeah, it has.
Ted Danson and Kristen Bell.
Is that the main character?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah. I am going to catch up with The Good Place.
Okay, well, I'm definitely not spoiling it for you.
Okay.
Let me just say, I was surprised at how much I liked it. It's interesting and stuff, but also it's just really warm. I just really like the...
Yeah. It's a warm, fuzzy show. Yeah.
But not in a way that sounds really bad, but actually it's good. It's good.
No, I think that's okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think, there was another time travel movie from back in the 80s or 90s with James Belushi. I'm just going to look it up. Because it was very good.
Yeah, so we haven't named a bad film where time repeats, really, have we? I mean, people might not like Sliding Doors, but I like Sliding Doors.
It was called Retroactive,
mm-hmm.
and it was released in 1997,
mm-hmm.
and it was very good.
Right.
Yeah, and it's set near a sort of military installation that are doing experiments with stuff. And
we should do like a top 10. Time repeating itself films.
Yeah,
maybe not top 10.
I think we could easily count them down in one episode.
Even if we just did a blog post without doing the talky bit, we should just have top five lists of things like that.
Well, we should definitely include Russian Doll. Maybe it should be not just movies, but...
things where time repeats.
Because it's definitely I wouldn't say it's a well-worn genre, but it has... Oh, it's repeated itself many times.
Yeah.
Do you see what I did there?
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Thanks. In fact, Wikipedia has a list of films featuring time loops.
You're joking. Well, then we are redundant.
That's it. So we can just go through that and pick out
some. Oh, hang on. Time loops are not exactly the same thing as time repeating many times over.
No, I guess not. But source code is in there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but presumably Terminator is in there as well, right? Because that's a time loop, but it's not repeating.
It must be in there. I'm just trying to see if it is.
What about Loopers?
Loopers.
No, Looper is called, isn't it? Not Loopers.
Oh, Looper is good, yeah. No, Looper's not in there.
But that, okay. All right, I don't understand the criteria for this then.
No, neither do I.
Or maybe it's just missing and we should add it.
Maybe. Maybe. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, films where the same thing gets repeated but varied.
Yes.
That is an interesting sub.
That is an interesting one. Yeah. I think if listener hasn't seen Source Code, they should definitely check it out because it's
that's good.
Fantastic.
You think that's better than Live, Die, Repeat?
No, I think it's as good. I think it's as good a time wibbly wibbly wobbly time story as Live,
Die,
Repeat.
Yeah, I'd find it hard to prize them apart. I think they're both good and they've both got kind of serious flaws.
Yeah, there are some serious flaws with them, but they're so wildly entertaining that you don't really care.
Yeah, I would say I was more entertained by Live, Die, Repeat. Maybe I just felt better that day.
Maybe, but Live, Die, Repeat is very good.
Source Code's good, though. Yeah. Definitely worth watching. It's a bit darker, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit. Source Code, if listen doesn't know, is a movie by Duncan Jones, who is currently working on an adaptation of 2000 AD's Rogue Trooper.
Okay.
Which I'm quite excited about, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've not read that.
Yeah, Rogue Trooper was a good one. It was a story about a platoon of genetically modified infantrymen, known as GIs, genetic infantrymen. But something happens to some of them, and there's only one left, and he carries the DNA and personality of his fallen comrades in chips that are embedded in his equipment. So there's one in his helmet, there's one in his gun, and there's one in his backpack. And they talk. So they've got personality. Uh-huh. It's the kind of thing that works really well in a comic book. Uh-huh. But I think that Duncan Jones, who did so brilliantly with the Warcraft movie, which if listener hasn't seen...
Haven't seen it.
It's really good.
Surprising.
Surprisingly good, yeah. So he really... you know, brought some of his own personality and made a movie out of something that really shouldn't have worked, but does work very well. So I think that if somebody can do it and bring something of himself to it, I think he can.
Speaking of comic books, I've really noticed in the rewatching of The Walking Dead,
yes,
the comic bookness of it, which I kind of missed the first time round.
How so?
Just from time to time, there's a shot or a frame that just feels really comic booky. And it,
yeah, there's definitely one at the end of series 2, I think, where the first time we see Michonne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Straight out of the comic book.
Yeah, there's quite a lot. I mean, I looked at some of the DVD extras last night, and yeah, there's quite a few frames that are straight from the comic book. The one that I'm thinking of, which I think doesn't, the reason it stands out is because I think it doesn't work on TV. It's probably the only one that I think. Is there's a shot where the governor is gunning down some army people, and they're getting shot from all directions, and the governor's kind of striding through, and two soldiers get shot in front of him and kind of fall across the frame like curtains closing
okay.
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks a bit naff.
Right.
And it's exactly the kind of thing you get in a comic book where it's part of the style. And
yeah, so it's a closing frame. Yeah.
And then, and the TV doesn't quite work.
But you can see what they're going for.
But almost all the time, yeah, there's this extra layer to it, which I hadn't really picked up on, of comic book-like frames, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. There's some really nice... there's some really nice shots in The Walking Dead where people are shot from below. Nice stuff that that you see in comic books a lot, the dynamic framing. Dutch angles that are not Dutch, but actually German.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of things from the floor.
Yes. Yeah.
Thinking that there's a moment when one of the towers of the prison gets blown up, and you're looking from the floor past a little bit of like zombie flesh.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, that's it's. I think that for a network TV show, The Walking Dead is pretty visually interesting at times.
It's unbelievable that they're allowed to do the things they did. You know, I described today, I won't go into it because we don't want to spoil it necessarily, but I described the main plot line between the main character and his wife in season 3 to someone at work today. And I was like, wow, that is really quite extreme.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it is. No spoilers, though.
Yeah. But it's great, listener.
Yeah, it's great. It is good. Yeah, it is good.
There's so much kind of gore and horror in it that it's just part of the background, really.
It is part of the background. I think that, you know, the struggle of the humans is what's interesting.
Yeah.
And as we see from the very beginning, actually, is that there are much worse things in the world than zombies.
Hmm.
Far more threatening things than zombies. So horrific
but
human
not
beings.
Done in that. What is it about 28 Days Later and the fact that they're trying to make that point that just so rubs me up the wrong way? Stupid
because
film.
It's laboured.
Stupid film.
Because it's laboured. You know, the whole thing with Christopher Eccleston and the soldiers.
Yeah.
It's so heavy-handed.
It's like wagging its finger at you.
Yeah, it's like watching a Michael Haneke movie.
Who's that?
I don't remember where he's from, actually. Michael Haneke might be... He's either German or French. And he very much makes movies that wag their finger at you and say, right. Ooh, aren't you naughty? You know, aren't you bad human beings? And I just don't have any time for that. Really.
Yeah.
There's a movie of his called The White Ribbon, which is set... it's pre-First World War Germany. And it's honestly one of the most cruel, sadistic movies I've ever seen. Really depressing.
Right.
Not something I'd ever want to watch again. In fact, I would urge listener to probably not bother to watch it if it's ever on television.
Immediately forget its name.
Yes. The White what?
I have actually literally forgotten its name. Oh no, it's come back to me. Oh no, don't remember it.
No, it's gone again.
Okay. Cool, thank you. That sounds really cool. When do you think it'll be out on DVD for those people?
I'd give it like 6 months, maybe 6 to 9 right. months. Right. And then they'll
release. Will it ever be on something like Amazon? It won't, will it?
It's on Netflix, so it definitely won't be on Amazon.
Not even for money. So when things come out on DVD, they don't come out on Amazon as well?
No, although... do you mean to buy on Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I mean on Amazon Video.
Unlikely...
Okay.
But,
okay.
You know...
I don't know how these things work.
Well, Netflix are a competitor with Amazon, so...
Yeah, but I was just thinking, because Amazon, you can do it, like, pay-as-you-go, I was wondering whether...
Yeah, I suppose it's possible, but because this is a Netflix original,
right.
I think it's unlikely that we'll ever see it on Amazon Video. But you never know.
But you get these... Some of these Blu-ray or DVD releases, they have some kind of digital element...
Yes, they do.
I'm not sure how that works.
But I think Russian Doll is... my prediction is that it will get a ton of awards this year.
Really?
Or next year. Yeah, I think it's that good. Yeah. I think it's...
Okay.
It's not groundbreaking, but it is really well put together and very thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our first TV show on this podcast.
Cool.
Probably not the last.
No.
Until next time. Next time will definitely be a movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So we had some feedback a while ago to whether we could do something about machine learning.
Yes.
So we have a plan, listener. We're still cooking it up. But we might put together a tech episode on machine learning. So send us your questions.
Yes, we would love your questions. Definitely. Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Excellent.
Do some plugging.
Oh, plugging. I used to present a radio show. I don't anymore. But I am piece by piece, doing highlights of that radio show. And I am going to be posting some new stuff to that feed very soon. In fact, I'll probably do them whilst I've got my microphone set up this evening. Do a quick post all about a movie that I've been watching or have watched recently about how much my son loves 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, he must have a lot of patience.
He's surprisingly, yeah. I think it's probably because he's been watching movies for quite a long time.
You've given him an education.
I have, and I am now, because I've finished doing the radio show, we're now untethered in our watching, and we can go back through and watch some classics. So,
right.
2001, we watched Silent Running on Saturday night,
right.
Which I really enjoyed. I haven't seen that for years.
Hmm.
I did notice in that how Bruce Dern's character is completely unhinged.
I don't think I've seen it. I don't know what it's about.
It's about some spacecraft out near Saturn who and they have geodesic domes attached to them full of forests and creatures and things from mm-hmm. Earth. And they are told to untether these things and blow them up because the ships have to head back to Earth to do commercial towing.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Dern is like, no, we're not doing that. We're definitely not doing that. You know, these things are really important. I've grown mm-hmm. this stuff with my own hands and I eat the food. And it was made in 1972. It's got a wow. really strong ecological message that these days seems like, you know, basic, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not sophisticated at all in terms of its mm-hmm, message, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but it is entirely correct.
Mm.
So it's directed by Douglas Trumbull, who did the special effects for 2001.
Mm, okay. That sounds really good.
And it's very good. Yeah. So we watched that on Saturday night and he enjoyed it, but he said it wasn't as good as 2001.
Right. Gosh, I'm not sure I could be bothered to watch 2001 myself, let alone I think my children will get through 5 minutes of it.
Fair enough.
It's not. On the other hand, in speaking of being proud of your children, my son can do the Rubik's Cube one-handed, marginally slower than I can do one two-handed.
See, that is impressive.
It's pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
Yeah, makes me sad. I mean, it should make me proud, it just makes me competitive.
Of course. Yeah. You do some plugging.
One of the other things that I do, if you follow me on Mastodon or follow my blog, you'll see that I write some open source software. One of the things that I do, and I make some YouTube videos about programming, stuff like that. One of the things I do is I make a game called Rabbit Escape. Me and a few friends work on it together. It's such fun. You should join in. And what this game is that these rabbits wander around aimlessly until you tell them what to do, and you have to help them get to the exit, otherwise they might die. So you give them little tokens that make them dig through something or climb up something or stuff like that. And they have to work together quite often to get to the exit. And there's various scary things that can happen to them, like they could meet a baddie rabbit that blows up when it crashes into them and things like that. And so we've just released a new version, which has this amazing new feature that was one of the things that's exciting about it for me is that it wasn't me that wrote it. It was pretty much entirely done by the people that my friends that I work with on this game, which I started, but they're now working with me. So that's really exciting to me. This is this really cool feature where basically there's water in like that's flowing around the level, so it might be stuck in a section, and then when you dig through the wall it kind of all flows out and goes somewhere else.
Ooh.
And this water can be harmful to rabbits. They can drown in it if it gets too deep, but they can walk through a little bit of it. But it's also useful because it puts out fires which could otherwise hurt the rabbits.
Uh-huh.
So because like by adding this sort of dynamic stuff that can flow around the level, it adds loads of new styles of puzzle that we can write. So at the moment we've released 20 new levels that make use of water in some way. But I anticipate lots of the new levels from now on are going to have water in because it's just such an interesting and fun thing.
That sounds amazing.
And also, it took us ages to get it looking right.
Mm.
But we've now got to the point where when it flows around the level, I feel like it doesn't look like real water, but it looks nice. It looks right to me.
So you can tell it's water.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about it. After all the work we put in to make it. It was a bit of work to make it move correctly so that the puzzles worked. But we got that hammered down pretty early. But then making that look right, it was a lot of work.
Mm.
We got there, and I think it looks really cool. So whenever I play around with it, I make a little gif of it and post it on my social media because I find it really nice the way it moves.
Cool.
Anyway, so that's called Rabbit Escape. You can get it from the Google Play Store. You can get it from the F-Droid Store. You can download it directly from the Rabbit Escape website, which is linked from the Good Robot Andy's About page. It's a fun little game. You can also play on your PC. You don't need to have a phone or a tablet. It works nicely on an Android tablet. It does not work on Apple devices because Apple don't allow GPL software on their store, which is a type of open source that's especially free.
Of course.
Because they hate freedom.
Well, they do, yes. They do. They really do, yeah.
But if you've got a Mac, you can download it from the website, play it on your Mac.
Right, but not on your Apple, not on your iOS device.
No, not on your iOS device because, well, for two reasons. One, the terms and conditions of the Apple Store won't allow it. And two, actually writing an iOS version would be a huge amount of work that we haven't bothered because of problem number one.
Fair enough. I refer the honourable gentleman to problem number one.
Yeah, they hate freedom.
Yeah.
Also, if you're into making levels for games like that, which to me is more fun than actually playing the game. There's a level editor that we're working on. It's currently usable. It's actually not too painful to use now. It's pretty good to use. I'd like it to be better in various ways, but you always want things to be better. But if you go along to the Rabbit Escape website, you'll find a link somewhere to the level editor forum. So not only can you make your levels there, you can also post them and other people can comment and give you tips on how to improve it and so on and so on. So that's a fun little community of people making levels together as well.
Cool.
That's so good.
That's marvellous.
It's a lot of fun. You should join in.
I should. My time is limited, but
Not you. I mean you.
You mean listener.
But also listener.
Yeah, you actually meant listener. You didn't mean me.
I meant you and listener.
It's okay.
But you played it once, so you too.
I liked it. But I got stuck and I gave up.
Yeah, so something that I still haven't done is a little button that lets you just see how to do the level and move to the next
That's
one.
That's what I would like, please. Because you know.
That would bring people back.
Yes, indeed.
Into the fold.
Yes, it would. It would. Because if you get to know how to do it, then you think, oh, that's how I do it. And then you do it and then you move on to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's how modern gaming works. It used to be in the olden days. You would just not let them past, and then they had to just take the pain.
Yes.
But these days, we don't do that.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy text-based game.
Oh, yeah. Nightmare.
Nightmare, yes. Turn left. Turn left. Open the door. There isn't a door.
So the interesting thing about that is that we actually have, as part of the code of the game, we have all the solutions to the level. So the game can actually play a level through automatically.
Right.
For you. It's just that there's no button to click to do it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So when I'm working on a level, I will use that lots. But it's not available just in the normal game. So
right.
We should just make it available and then that problem would go away. But, you know.
Make it. Do it.
So did you actually give us the name of your
I didn't.
Your podcast.
No, it's called Movie Mashup. No.
All camel case.
No camel case. Caps. No cams. I am slowly updating the feed to include all of the podcasts up to the end of December last year.
Cool.
But when I finish tonight's podcast, I'm going to post something new, something brand new to it.
Cool. So you're going through old radio shows and taking the highlights, but then you're also posting new stuff.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Cool. So, you know, if there's any crossover of listener between this podcast and Movie Mashup, which there might be.
There might be.
Don't unsubscribe. Although you probably haven't anyway, because it's easier not to.
Yeah. Well, don't.
Well, don't. Just don't. Because there's new stuff coming.
So, yeah, listener, tell your friends about the Good Robot Andy's.
Yes, do. Absolutely. Because how many downloads did we have in February, did you say?
In February, let me bring it back up. We had, it says downloads from unique people.
Okay.
We had 48.
Hooray.
Downloads, total downloads, 58. So that's actual people actually either downloading the podcast or listening to it through the website.
Okay, right.
So hopefully that's actual people rather than, search engines and things.
That's very good.
Some people are listening to the podcast. Not enough people for us to retire and make this our full-time job.
No, indeed not.
What we would need is quite a lot more listeners and also some form of revenue stream.
Yes, so like a Patreon revenue stream.
Yeah, I guess these days there are ways that could work.
Yeah, but we don't do that because we do it for love at the moment.
No, I mean, I wouldn't object. Like, if we got lots of listeners and people wanted to donate, that would seem a good thing.
Yeah, because, you know, you have hosting costs.
Yes, there's a small cost involved in hosting. And if we had lots of listeners, that would probably go up and we would need some money. But I don't think that's a problem we're going to have.
You never know.
Yeah, well, it would be a nice problem.
If one day we manage to attract a guest to our show.
Yeah, someone might listen.
Someone famous, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Until then, yeah. It's just for us.
So speaking of people we asked to be guests who haven't responded.
Yes.
I'm reading the next Anne Leckie book.
Oh, yes.
You know, we talked about the Ancillary series, which is totally amazing and I love
yes,
it.
Yes, we did talk about that quite some time ago now.
Well, I'm now reading Provenance, which is a new book by Anne Leckie, which is based in the same universe as the Ancillary series.
Okay.
And it's also really good. And it also has this peculiar way that she tells stories where you're kind of following along next to some people and somehow, like, events happen, but I don't know. It's hard to say what's weird about it, but there's something weird about it. Like, I think what it is that they form relationships with each other, but nowhere in the writing does it say what they're feeling for each other. You have to figure it out from the way they behave.
That's cool.
And it sneaks up on you. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Excellent.
And it's some really good hard sci-fi in there. That's what's the main attraction.
Oh, that's always good. Yeah. That's always good.
It's really cool.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's it. Cool. Thank you very much.
Cheers. See you next time.
Bye-bye.